It's a miracle walking God, hallelujah. Is the Alpha and Omega. It's a miracle walking God. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this hour. We just pray you speak to us yourself, Lord, and teach us your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I'm going to just go through two stories in the Bible that the Lord laid upon my heart. And from these two stories, I'm going to deduce some exhortation. Amen? What does the Lord really want us to know? It's to be said like this. Do we want to do the Father's will, or do we want to do our own will? Do we want to do the Father's will, or do we want to do our own will? Let's look at two stories in the Bible. You might wonder that, how can this story really touch on this? Let's go to the book of Jonah. If any of you is not familiar with this story of Jonah, I will recommend that you read it through. I want to talk about doing the Father's will, doing the will of the Lord himself. And what is the Father's will? And that's what we are going to emphasize. That's what we're actually going to emphasize in this story. What is the Father's will? We all want to go in the rapture. Any of us that know about the rapture, we know that Christ is coming and is going to take us away in the rapture. But to go in the rapture, we must be ready to do the Father's will. The will of the Father God is what I'm talking about now. Here's an example of a prophet that the Father's will, that is the will of God, just conflicted with his own will. And that is all we are challenging ourselves to think about. You're going to look at yourself. You will see that most of my sermons have been deep inward search. We're going to search ourselves internally and see whether we want to do our own will or the will of the Father, the will of God. Here is Jonah. You know the story if you have been very familiar with the Bible. Jonah was a prophet, and God told him to go to a city called Nineveh and go preach. In fact, he said, just go and tell them that in 40 days, this city will be destroyed. That looked like a prophecy of doom upon Nineveh. But you see, the will of the Father conflicted with the will of Jonah. What did Jonah want? We're going to actually dig deep into this. What was in the mind of Jonah is what we want to try to find it out. What was in his mind? Maybe Jonah was one of the prophets that wanted that, hey, if I say that this is going to happen, it must happen. And I want it to happen so that what? I can be exalted. That is the prophet that said it and it happened. That would be what? Self. If he wanted to glorify himself, then if God will not do what he prophesied, that will be kind of a shame to him also. So what was in the mind of Jonah? Could that be the problem with Jonah? Could that be the problem of Jonah? He wanted that if he has to go to that city, Nineveh, and prophesy, it better happen. Maybe that was his problem. But see, what was the Father's will? What is the purpose of prophesying? God wanted all men to repent. That is the purpose of God. He wanted all men to repent. Even though he warned them that he was going to destroy them in 40 days, well, if they repented, that is the will of the Father. The Father's will is that if they repented, God will change his mind. But Jonah didn't want that. So what are we trying to draw out of this problem, or out of this exhortation? The will of the Father may conflict with your own will. Whom will you serve? Amen? Whom do you want to serve? Yourself or the Father God? You have to think about it. Now, it's very easy for us to say, oh, I will serve the Father God. Oh, I want to serve the Father God. Oh, I want to serve the Father God. But we are going to bring it down to our level in a moment. Because when we say the Father's will, It's going to be some of those things that the flesh just rouses up against what the Father is suggesting or saying. God never suggests. God gives instruction and commands. So the problem is, when the flesh rises against it, that is where you have to choose. Am I going to do my Father's will? Am I going to do my own will? So let's just read some few verses in the story of Jonah here. And now then I'll go to the story of the other person. One that didn't do the Father's will, and the other one that did the Father's will, even though it hurts. And that's what we are going to compare. And then bring it down to our own level and compare how we want to serve God. And because when we serve Him, there is blessing when we surrender to the Father. There is blessing in it. But it's hard for our flesh to surrender. And that is why we are called to be Christians, people that have chosen to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be like Him. And we have to also look at His own example, how He surrendered all to the will of the Father. Amen. Verse 3, verse chapter 1, verse 3 said, actually from verse 2, book of Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3 says, and Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So in short, Jonah went the opposite direction, because he did not want to go to that city. And let's see the last verse, the last chapter of Jonah, where he actually told us why he fled. Look from chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 8. After Jonah finally got to that city, we all know, if you don't know the story, go and read the story yourself. He fled and God didn't allow him to run, because he was in a boat that in the end he has to be casted into the sea, and a fish caught him. You know the story of Jonah, that this is the man that was caught in the mouth of a whale. But in the end, God delivered him from the whale, from the mouth of that fish, and he had to go anyway. When he went to that city, they repented, and here is what we are reading in verse 7. Even the king of Nineveh himself repented and proclaimed that everybody in the city must repent. From chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put it on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Let me jump to verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did not. But chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Well, that is what we are trying to talk about. Jonah was very angry because his will conflicted with the Father's will. The Father's will was for people to repent, and his own will was that, hey, they should be destroyed. And when God didn't destroy them, Jonah was angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my sin when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So this is the story of Jonah. What I'm trying to draw out of this story is, is your will conflicting with the Father's will? In many situations, it does conflict. In many occasions, your will does conflict with the Father's will. Now you just have to decide, whom are you going to serve? Am I going to serve myself? Am I going to serve the Lord? Now, before I go to the next story, I'm going to point some of the examples of how your will could be conflicting with the Father's will in many respects. Open to me 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I will read verse 3 there. I say, is my will occasionally conflicting with the Father's will? Here is an example. I say, I'm going to bring it down to our own level so that you can see what we are talking about when we say, oh yeah, I will do the Father's will. But when it comes to the rubber meets the road, are you going to do the Father's will or your will? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Young people, look at that verse and said, that is the Father's will. There will be an occasion like that where you are confronted with the word of God, and the word of God says, this is the Father's will for you, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, are you going to, and there's a thought that says, gee, I just wanted to do what everybody else is doing. Are you going to do your flesh that wants to do fornication, or you are going to do the Father's will? This is the Father's will. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So you can bring it back to your level and think of that and say, Lord, in many occasions when the flesh is rising up against the will of the Father, then you choose to obey the Father. That is when you are doing the Father's will. It comes down to that. And there's another example. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Here the Apostle Paul was telling us that it is part of the will of the Lord that we may have to suffer for Christ. He wrote it that way, that it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, that is the Father's will, that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. But there will be an occasion when the suffering is trying to come. Maybe witness to somebody. You are expected to witness to this fellow, but you feel in your flesh, the flesh rises up, that they may laugh at me. And that kind of make you be intimidated. Well, that is your will, self-will, self. You are thinking of self now. You are thinking of yourself. Compared to the Father's will, that say witness to this fellow. That is where you have to now draw the line. Am I serving myself or am I serving the Father? It's just in those situations that you have to begin to say, the Father's will is what I must do. So when we say Jonah's case is, you can say it's on a large scale. Well, go and preach to this city. And he said, no, I'm not going to preach. I want them to be destroyed. That looks like a large scale. Your own self-will may just be on a small scale. Self-will may be on a small scale. Like we just talked about fornication. Everybody is having boyfriend, girlfriend in the schools, young people. And your flesh wanted to do the same thing, but the Father's will says, no, this is the Father's will. That you should think of sanctification. And the same way, witness to this somebody. And in your mind, you wanted to witness, but that is the Father's will, but your flesh is saying, they're going to laugh at me. That is your will, your self-will, that is talking about self, how you could feel concerning this situation, is conflicting with the Father's will. So we can talk on and on. I will come back to that in a few, and just bring it to our level. But before we go any further, let's talk about the second story of somebody that really did something that we can say is the Father's will. You say, well, where is that story in the Bible? Let's go to the book of Esther. It's going to be very short. Let's go to the book of Esther. If you are not familiar with the story of this woman called Esther, a queen, but how she became a queen is what we are going to talk about. The book of Esther, chapter 2 is what I'm going to point to. This is the story of a Jewish lady that she has already lost her parents, but her uncle just adopted her and raised her up, and she was pretty. Now, we say the Father's will. That uncle called Mordecai became more like her father. That's the man she knew. So, when we say the Father's will, sometimes we think of God's will is all that is written. It's all that's written down here. That's true. But you see, God's will comes to us sometimes through authority over you. Authority over you. And we're going to go to that in a moment, because when we say the Father's will, even when you are in your place of work, what is the Father's will? and what is your own will. Your father's will, the father's will, which is the scripture that may say you are to be subject to the authority. And your boss just gave you some instruction, and your flesh reacts. Well, that is where the conflict between your self-will and the father's will also can come into play. And you have to now say, am I going to do the father's will? Am I going to do my will? So it's in every aspect of our life, we're going to be looking at what is the father's will in this situation. Now, let's go back to the story of Esther. Now, Esther was, according to the story in chapter 2, when the king has already told that they should bring young women that are going to be like a beauty pageant, the king was going to select one of them. But what I want you to consider in this story is this. Do you realize that Esther was sacrificing herself in that story to participate in this beauty pageant? It was a serious self-sacrifice. Esther was not a girl that had Mordecai just told her, go do it. No. Mordecai will have to sit down with her. She pulled her, maybe Esther was 25 years old or something like that. And Mordecai will have to sit down with her and tell her, we're going to do this. There's a beauty pageant. If you win, you become the queen. Well, that looks nice, but suppose she loses. She's going to become what? Prostitute. They are prostitutes for the king. Concubines, they call them. If she loses, that's what will be the end of her. Concubine. And they may never see the king anymore. And the servants of the king just mess around with those concubines in the houses of the women, they call them. But why will she sacrifice her reputation? And these are religious people. Think about it that way, that she has to sacrifice. It's like a sacrifice. But what is she going to gain? You may say maybe Mordecai had an inner motive. If you become the queen, who knows? You might save the whole of the Jewish nation. When God put that in Mordecai's heart, you have to know that it was God that put it in his heart. But for Mordecai to suggest it and talk to her about it, and for her to succumb to this scandalous. You know what it means to say, we're going, and she told her, don't tell anybody, because we can't even announce among the Jews. Everybody among the Jews know that this is sinful to go and participate in this. It's like when you know that, well, if you go to send your daughter into something like that, which Christian can do that? How much more Jews? So they know this is scandalous. So she said, but don't tell anybody. Don't even tell your friends. Don't tell anybody. We're going to do this secretly. That was what Mordecai told her. For her to surrender to that is succumbing to something that is scandalous. What will Mordecai tell the people? Oh, where is Esther? Oh, she, for 1 year, 6 months with this, 6 months, before she even go to, before the king. For 1 year, she has gone to live with her aunt somewhere. She has to be covering it up. She said, don't tell anybody that we are going to do this. So you can see, for Esther to submit to that, to this, what you call beauty contest, is scandalous and is completely, what you say, immoral, perhaps immoral. But somehow God put it upon the heart of Mordecai to make it for them to go after this. So it's a self-sacrifice because the Father's will. And that is what you are going to see, a type of Christ here. Because Christ has to give up the throne and come and sacrifice himself for us, for mankind. So when we say the Father's will, sometimes it may be something that is demanding from you, maybe hurtful. It may be hurtful, but are you going to serve yourself or you are serving the Lord? Are you serving yourself or you are serving the Lord? Because this is why he said we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. It's living sacrifice. Even we that are believers, you are commanded, God is calling on you and me to present your body as a living sacrifice unto God. So this is an example of a woman that was able to do it. She said she agreed with Mordecai to go into that beauty pageant, which could be scandalous if they found out that one of our own Jewish people went into that kind of something. If she didn't win, she's going to be just one of the prostitutes for the king. How can you do that for your daughter, for your stepdaughter? But God put it in Mordecai's heart. That's what we can only rest upon, that Mordecai is not just trying to become rich. That is, Mordecai was not trying to become the somebody of a queen. But somehow, God has put it in his heart, that this thing will work out. And if she become queen, we know what we can be. We have somebody at the throne right there that can help us as Jews. But suppose it did not work out. So that is what I said, Esther was self-sacrificing. And that is what God is calling everybody to self-sacrifice. Your own may not be to do this kind of a thing, but whatever it is, talk to this fellow. It's a self-sacrifice, because you are going to lay your ego on the line. They might laugh at me. All my friends are looking at me. They are thinking, oh, this Jesus freak is here. And you are kind of shy to even open your mouth to talk to somebody about Jesus. That is, you are considering yourself more important than obeying the Lord. That is what it is. You are more important than obeying the Lord. It's self-sacrifice. I just bring that example. In every step of the way we are talking about, are you ready to serve the Lord, or you are ready to serve yourself? It's what we are saying. Now let's go further to this story of Esther. We know the rest of the story. She won. She became queen. Praise God, she now is queen. But that's not the end of the story. Here comes the final test. Is she serving herself, or is she serving the Lord? Amen? Are you going with me, or am I too fast for you? Or my accent is too deep for some of you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see the last part of the story. Esther chapter 4. Here comes the final part of this test. Are you serving yourself, or you want to serve the Lord? Self-sacrifice is what God is calling everybody onto. There was an enemy of the Jews by the name of Haman, that for some reason, he found out that Mordecai was one of the servants at the gate, would not bow down to him, and he hated him. And he said, who is that man? He said, his religion and his Jew. His religion said they shouldn't bow to anybody. And this Haman said, I'm just going to have to wipe out all Jews. And he planned to wipe them out from all the kingdom. Go and read the old story of Esther. You know the old story. And now he wrote an edict, and the king signed it. Tricked the king to sign it, and the king signed it that all the Jews in all the lands where this king was ruling should just, one day, they should wipe them all out. Destroy them and take all their goods. When the thing was announced and posted everywhere, the Jews were all in tears. And Mordecai was in tears. And now the queen has not told anybody that she was Jewish. She was in the palace. That was Queen Esther. Mordecai finally got word to the queen that this is what is going on. They are going to kill all of us for the reason nobody knows why. And Mordecai was asking the queen to go and plead with the king for us. Go to the king and plead for us. And the queen said, gee, I can't do that. The king has not called me. I can't even go in there. There's a Lord. I say nobody should come in. And there are many excuses. And this is where we are going to read how this woman finally did. She was ready to sacrifice herself one more time. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 15. If you don't know the story, just read the old story. You see the sacrificial lamb here. But when you are ready to lay your life down for Jesus, that is when the Lord also will lay his power down for you. That's all we have been talking. We want to be like Jesus. But we are going to see the Lord himself lay his life down when it's going to hurt. He said, but not my will, but the Lord's will be done. So that is what he is calling you and me to be able to do. But you have to start with the little ones, the small little steps. When you have your father's will conflicting with your own will. And that is what we are seeing. The father's will is all these scriptures in the Bible. It will always conflict with our will. Why? Because we are flesh. But he is God. He sees the big picture. We don't see the big picture. So when he's asking you to do this, or this is how you should do something, you don't see the big picture, but you see how it's going to hurt you. Yeah, it's going to hurt you. But if the father says so, are you willing to surrender to it? That is what we are talking about. Now, here is the story of Mordecai has told the woman, has told Esther, go and talk to the king for us. And she sent back a letter to Mordecai and said, gee, I can't go to the king. There's a law that says nobody can come to the king unless the king calls for you. And for 30 days, the king has not called for me. And Mordecai sent word back to her. Here is the letter, chapter 4 of Esther. Here's the word of Mordecai. Verse 13. Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the rest of the Jews. So if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Say, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." So Mordecai was just reminding her that, don't forget that you are also a Jew. Well, you are in the next to the king right there, and you are not going to take up the challenge to lay down your life for us and go meet the king. They said, well, you can't come in. You'll let the king ask you. Go and do whatever you have to do. And she just challenged Esther. And this is the sacrifice Esther has to now make. The king could cut her head off, because in those days, it doesn't matter whether she's queen or not. This is what Esther finally said in verse 15. Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. He said, fast for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Amen. Well, that's where we're going to. He said, if I perish, I perish. Amen. Think about it. I want to think deep. When you are ready to lay down all your life, that is when you are saying, then you are willing to do the Father's will. Many of us are just self-willed. And our self-will is conflicting with the Father's will, with the Lord's will. That is always our problem. But for us to be like Christ, we must kill self. In fact, that is the total of this story is die to yourself. That is, we must crucify the flesh. The self is what we're talking about. Because when we say crucify the flesh, people think of that sin. But all those sins are disobedience. That's what sin is. But the disobedience can come in those other flavors that do not look like sin. But as long as it's disobedience, it's still disobedience. Amen? So it is that self that we need to crucify. And I'm going to jump to Hebrews chapter 5 and talk about what the Lord himself went through for us. Hebrews chapter 5. Are we going to serve ourselves, or are we going to serve the Lord? In all those little things, God will bring you to confrontation with something. And you have to decide whether you are going to let the Lord's will be above your own will. That's all he's asking us to do. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Here is what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. That is, Christ learned obedience by what he suffered. Amen? So are you learning obedience by what you are going through? That's all the Lord is. Sometimes, let me give some example. When we say obedience, you know, God can put you in this place of work just for you to learn obedience. Whereas many of us say, gee, no, I don't want to be serving anyone. I want to be my own boss. And it's good to be your own boss. In America, that's some of the new verbs. I want to be my own boss. But sometimes God wants you to be there so that you can learn obedience, to be a servant. Christ learned obedience by the things he suffered, is what the Bible said. Just imagine what the Lord Jesus Christ went through. And I don't think anybody has since have been able to come to that. And we are trying to be like Christ. You say, somebody said, what about Apostle Paul? I'll tell you that Apostle Paul didn't. Because here is what the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty God that had the power, and he was standing before the high priest. And he said something to the high priest. The high priest asked him about his doctrine, his disciples. And he said, well, ask them that have heard me. They know what I speak. And one of the guys that was holding Christ slapped him by giving a backhand slap, perhaps something like that you call it. So answered the high priest so. And what did Lord say? Lord said, if I have spoken evil, testify to the evil. That is, he suffered all those things without using his supernatural power. He has this power and he did not use it. That's what we are talking about. But think about Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was also in front of those high priests when he was arrested many years later. And he said, Apostle Paul told them, oh, I have lived, you know, with a quiet life and with pure conscience before the Lord. And the high priest said, slap his mouth. And somebody slapped Paul's mouth. What did Paul reply? Paul said, God shall smite you. Thou whited wall. So you see, he was not like Christ yet in that state. But we are to be like Christ. We are to all want to be like Christ. That is, the Father's will must be above our own will. What the Lord just demonstrated to us in that story is, the Father's will was, you can't use this power in this situation. That is the will of the Father. If the Lord just has told them that man that slapped him, that God shall smite you, that man will be falling dead. But no, he couldn't use that power because the Father's will. That was the will of the Father. And we know the story in the garden when the soldiers were coming and Christ said, take this cup away from me. That was what the flesh we want. He said, but nevertheless, what not my will, but thy will be done. So what is our own confrontation? What could be your own confrontation? The Father's will, is it higher than our own will? That's all we have to confront ourselves with. Is my will overriding the Father's will? And if it is, we need to ask the Father to help us. We need to repent. Let's go a little bit further in bringing it down to our own level. Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. Here are some simple instructions that is the will of the Father to us. And when you see those simple instructions, that is how you begin to put yourself in line. Just put yourself in obedience to those instructions. And then, even when it's contrary to your flesh, whatever the will of our body wants to do, when you submit to those instructions, contrary to your flesh, that is when you are now beginning to do with the will of the Father. Here is in Colossians chapter 3, instructions to everyone. Beginning from verse 18. From verse 17, and say, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, this is the Father's will, one by one. Listen. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. He said, well, that's the Father's will. There will be a time when it's contrary to your flesh. Will you submit to your own husband? That's the Father's will. And he said, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. But there will be a time when you just feel like, gee, this fellow has done something, like love does not want to come out. But he said, the Father's will said, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That is the Father's will. You are now to look at yourself and say, is my will, myself, more important than the Father's will? That's what he's talking about here. And he went further, he said, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. And that is the Father's will. If you are a child and there's something that wants to rouse in you to want to rebel or resist the instruction of your parents, remember, this is the Father's will. And let it overrule your own will, because the flesh is your own will. Whatever is pleasing will be your own will. And he went further, everybody has a part to play here. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And that is the Father's will. There will be a time when your will confronts conflict with that. Then you have to remember, the Father's will must overrule my will, otherwise I'm not being like Christ. And he went further, he said, servants. Now, those are employees. You can say, well, I'm not a servant. You're an employer to somebody. You're a servant to somebody. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Well, that is the Father's will. When you conflict with your will because you just don't feel like serving anybody, you want to be the boss of yourself, that may be somehow a spirit is rising up that is conflicting with the Father's will for you at that situation. Because what is the will of the Father is for us to die to self. And he went further in chapter 4, verse 1, because even the masters that claim to be masters, boss, you have a boss, you have some employees under you, here is yours. He said, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Amen. So whatever is your own position, think of what is the Father's will concerning me. When your self-will wants to conflict with that Father's will you obey the Father? Will you obey the Father? That is the instruction the Lord wants us to do today. And you may say, is this just for the now? Do you know this? We want to go in the rapture. We talk about the Lord is coming soon, the saints are going to disappear. Obedience is part of the criterion that's going to qualify us. Obedience. And obedience starts from this ones he just listed there, which is obedience here, there, or servants, wives, husbands, lords. Those are obedience, the obedience to his instructions. To go in the rapture is obedience to the Spirit of the living God. And God will bring you to that state where you are completely surrendered to him before you can qualify to go away with him in the rapture. Because you can see an example of Elijah the prophet. When the Lord began to, when it was about time for him to disappear, one thing very peculiar, God will lead him, say, take, go and to that city, and he will go. Obedience. And he go to that city, he goes, go to that city, and he will go. Obedience. God was teaching him obedience. Because very soon he's going to go with God where he didn't, he was going finally out of here. But God was leading him in obedience. Are you going to be obedient to the Father? It takes practice. When you are obedient to all those simple instructions of yielding to the scriptures, then you are able to hear him, and he's going to lead you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's part of rapturing faith, obedience. So the Father's will, sometimes we conflict with our own will. It's what we are saying. But whom do you want to serve? Are you going to serve yourself, or are you going to serve the Father? And you have to know that this is only things that have been prophesied for the end time. That men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. Selves. So let that not be your part. And he also said, some are self-willed. All of those things are the things that are contrary to the plan of God. Self-willed. Lovers of pleasure. What is lovers of pleasure? He said there are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. To be lovers of pleasure means something that is pleasing to self. So we have to think about ourselves. Am I serving self, or am I going to serve the Lord? Especially you people that are new here. If you are new here, or perhaps you have not known Jesus. Do you want to serve the Lord, or you want to serve yourself? There are things that is self-will or serving self that is tying down to sin. It's what old men to sin. They wanted to please themselves, please their pleasure. But God wants to deliver you from those sinful nature that is tying you down to sin. And you need that deliverance. That's why Christ came. He came that he may set man free from the trick of the devil. The devil tricked man into making sin look pleasurable. He makes sin look pleasurable. And that's why he said they are lovers of pleasure. And when the devil tracks men into sin, makes sin look pleasurable, then they are far away from God. But God wants us to serve him. If you want to serve him, you have to begin to ask him to deliver you from those things that tie you down into those pleasurable things. And the Lord is saying, if you want him to deliver you, you just ask. And we're going to finish this prayer, this thing in a moment, and we're going to ask one another, do you want to serve the Lord, or you want to serve yourself? Even we that are already in Christ, to come to the level to be raptured, we need to be surrendered to the Lord. Surrender to the will of the Father. And that's what we are going to challenge ourselves this morning with. Do you want to surrender to the Father? Do you want the Lord to take hold of your life right now and say, Lord, your will is what I want done in my life. Even when it hurts, give me the grace to say like Christ, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. We want to ask for that grace. So, stand up and pray with me. Let's stand up together. And if you have not known Christ yourself, you personally have not received your Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to take that first step that I want deliverance from this sinful self that is tying me to the misbehaviors. And that's what I'm inviting you. Anybody here that wants to say, Brother Julius, pray with me. I want to be delivered from those sinful nations. I want to be set free from the sinful nature that is making me want to do my own will all the time and not the Father's will. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has laid it down for us so that we can live for him. The Bible said he died for all so that all may live for him. So if you want to live for Jesus so that you can receive the benefits of the saints, the benefits of good life, the benefit of asking God and he answering your prayers, the benefits of eternal life, the benefits that we enjoy in Christ, so that there is no suffering of this present time that can be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. But to start enjoying that glory, you have to surrender your life to Christ. So I want you to come along, come forward if you want me to pray for you, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. He can deliver you and set you free from that self-will that will not allow you to serve the Lord God himself. And every other person that really wants to check yourself and say, am I still having some self-will? I wish all of us still do. But you want to ask for the grace and say, Lord, give me that grace to surrender fully and have every self-will, lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, something that is hindering me. When I want to witness, I have that hindrance. I say, well, they may laugh at me. That is the self. I want it to be crucified in me. The scripture says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And that crucifying of the flesh is what we want to ask for in prayer. Lift up your eyes. Just begin to talk to the Lord yourself now. Just talk to the Lord yourself. Unless you personally want me to pray for you, you want to receive Christ, then you won't come forward. But every other person, just lift up your voice to the Lord right now and ask him. And say, Lord, I want that self, that selfhood to be crucified. That selfhood that is hindering me from going all out for you. Like Esther sacrificed himself. It's a self-sacrifice. Without looking back, he said, if I perish, I perish. Ready to serve his people and serve God that she has been raised to serve. And when we are ready to do that, then God will give the glory. And the beauty at the end was that it will be to the glory of God. And we can read back the rest of the story. It was to the glory of God that she delivered his people. But individually, we need to surrender our self-will to God and let the Lord's will be done in our life. So if you want me to pray for you right now, you want to surrender to Christ, you have not given your life to Christ yet, he can set you free from all those self-will, all those self-pleasure, all those things that are pleasurable things. That is bringing you into sin so that you can have the joy of eternal life, being saved from your sin. You can come forward with every person. Just talk to the Lord yourself. Talk to the Lord right now and say, Lord, help me. Give me the grace to have your will done in my life always. To prioritize your will above my will. To esteem your will far above all things else. Like Christ said, not my will, but thine be done. Even when it hurts, help me, Lord, to accept your will as the will of the Father that I must do, no matter what will be the consequence. Give me the grace to surrender all to thee, Lord Jesus. Talk to the Father. And if you want me to pray for you, you want to give your life to Christ, come forward right now, I will pray for you. Father, we thank you for ourselves, Lord. We thank you for every one of us that are here, Lord. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you will touch our lives and touch our hearts. Let this exhortation that we have heard today, that your will must be prioritized, that the Father's will must be the utmost in our heart, even when it's going to hurt, that we can say, like Christ said, not my will, but thine be done. Father, give us the grace to be able to surrender all to thee, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, give us the grace to be able to lay everything on the line for thee. Like you said, we are to present our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Father God. A sacrifice is something that then the one that is sacrificing can do anything with that body. We present ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us the grace to lay it all on the altar. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Is Jesus worthy? Does he deserve all? He laid it all for us. So we have to lay everything down for him. Praise ye the Lord. Give me a song, babe. Give me a song. Hallelujah.